Thank all the sponsors for tonight's evening that made it all possible. The Shafter family, the Greenberg family, the Mandelbaums, the Davidoviches, the Klars, the Karasics, the Kronenbergs, the Markowitz families, the Eloy Nishmas, Yeruchim Yitzchak ben Menachem Mendel, the Eloy Nishmas, Chaya Bashmol and Avram ben Yitzchak, Moshe Yosef ben Tzvi, Aliza Bas Avram Moshe, and Rivka Bas Harav Shimon Asher and Rav Mordechai Yosef and Azriel Zelig, as well as in honor of Rav Neuberger, Rav Cohn, Rav Moshe Tzvi, and all they do on behalf of our community.
I'll begin with a few thank yous of my own. I want to thank David for all of his tremendous work, both in terms of the practical preparations for this evening, and his excitement. His excitement to be here, his excitement to bring others to be here. I want to thank Daniel and Yossi also for the tremendous efforts. Yossi, you made a great lemon tea also. Thank you for the tea. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Thank my brother Josh for gracing us once again with his nigunim. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Baruch Hashem, I think this is the fourth year now that we've had this chus to get together for Zos Chanukah. And to put it simply, it's a good thing that Jews should get together for Zos Chanukah, that Jews should be thinking about what is this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us called Zos Chanukah. For myself, the last few days I've been spent mostly in bed trying to get healthy. And it's good to just be back in the world. A lot of catching up to do. Just caught up on a little Kabbalah Shabbos, little Lichadodi. But there's a lot to catch up on. Nevu Draham says that some have a minog that on the eighth day of Chanukah, again, it's a minog, it's obviously not the halacha, but there's a minog not to perform a lacha on the eighth day of Chanukah. That was a little extra machir this year. I figured I would, not perform a lacha on the fifth day, and the sixth day, and the seventh day. Took off from work a couple of days this week. But it's a vacation that a person doesn't desire, and it's Baruch Hashem, it's good to be back. Talmidim once came to Rav Gedalia Shor in Torah Vadas, and they said, Rebbe, how come, some schools, some yeshivas, they have off on Chanukah. How come we don't get a Chanukah vacation? So Rav Gedalia Shor says, a Chanukah vacation? I thought we won. I thought the whole point of Chanukah is that we won. If we won, that means we're supposed to be learning, we're supposed to be davening. I haven't davened with the minion in a couple of days. So looking forward to Maariv tonight. But Baruch Hashem, it's Zos Chanukah, and there's a lot that a person can catch up on in these few moments of Zos Chanukah. We already kindled the last light, which means it's done. In terms of, we still have a Baruch Hashem, a whole Hallel tomorrow. But in terms of the doing of Chanukah, we've really done our part at this point. And the question is, what happens now? We wish maybe there was a 9th, a 10th, an 11th, that would go on, keep adding a light to the menorah. But the reality is that we've finished the job, We've illuminated the 8 lights, and now the question is, so now what? Stuchina Rebbe has a little kuntris of his writings on Chanukah. 5 mamarim, short mamarim. And one of the mamarim, Stuchina Rebbe talks about the relationship between Chanukah and Olam Haba and Mashiach. How Chanukah really is a chinuch, it's a taste of the world to come. And the world to come is very much connected to the number 8, as he explains. We light the 8 lights. 8 always represents that which is lamalim and ateva. We've been tasting for 8 days something that's a little bit lamalim and ateva. He says, we got a taste of olam haba. He says, the gematria of haba, olam haba, haba is gematria 8. Because the olam haba, the world to come, is a world that's connected to the world of 8. Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us in Daf Lamed Aleph, the 6,000 years the world is going to last, the seventh millennia is going to be charuv, the world's going to be in a state of destruction, and then in the year 8,000, there'll be olam haba, the world of 8, the world of lamalim and ateva. The or haganu is that which is hidden away, for tzaddikim, for the end of days. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a taste of it. For 8 days, we got to taste a little bit of that nitzchias. A little taste of eternity, a little taste of something beyond this world. And now that Chanukah is over, if we tasted something eternal, you don't let go of something that's eternal. Something that's eternal, by definition, means that it lasts forever. And we try to hold on to it. Previous Tolner Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan Tversky Zatzal, he used to, many times, he would say at the end of Chanukah, on the last night of Chanukah, he would say, now that Chanukah is over, do we say Atachon Antanu in Shmona Esrei? Do we say Havdalah in Shmona Esrei? It wasn't that the Rebbe forgot from 1 year to the next. He knew, of course, that we don't say Havdalah. We don't say Havdalah in Shmona Esrei. But what he's hinting to is the fact that many tzaddikim highlight this point, that we don't say Havdalah at the end of Chanukah. Purim and Chanukah are Yomim Tovim, and yes, Chanukah is truly called the Yom Tov by the Gemara, and yet it's a Yom Tov that doesn't come with a Havdalah. We don't have to let go of it. The Imre Emes writes, and the Ger Rebbe writes, Tafresh Sadi Beis, that was the year, on the sixth night of Chanukah. He says, B'Shabbos v'Yom Tov yesh Havdalah. Shabbos and Yom Tov, when Shabbos is over, there's a Havdalah. When Yom Tov is over, there's a Havdalah. He says, Shabbos also lingers for a few days. Yom Tov perhaps even lingers a little bit longer. But eventually there's a Havdalah. V'Aor Holich. And the experience, the spiritual energy, the spiritual light that was attained through a Shabbos, through Yom Tov, it dissipates. You can't hold on to it. However, Chanukah u'Purim ein havdalah, va'or nishar l'tamid ve'eno holich. But Chanukah and Purim, there's no havdalah. Obviously, the pashup shah, there's no havdalah because there's no isra malacha. There's no cessation from malacha over the course of Chanukah and Purim. But what the tzaddik is revealing to us, what the Imre Emes is telling us, is that you don't have to let go. There's no havdalah, you don't have to let go of a yom tov like Chanukah. You can try to hold on to that light, even though we're not going to light a 9th and a 10th and an 11th candle. But we try to hold on to it. Interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch, where Ramah Paskins like the Trumas Hadeshin, if you have a candle, it's a candle that's Asur Bahana, but the candle gets mixed in with all these other candles. A Chanukah candle that somehow is Asur Bahana that gets mixed in with other candles. It says, halacha is clear, that candle is not bato, even in 1,000 candles. And again, it's a halacha that's maybe very not practical, right? But the idea is picked up on by the tzaddikim that a Chanukah candle, even when it's mixed in with 1,000 others, is not bato. Now, there's something about Chanukah that lingers with us, that we're able to take it with us, we're able to hold on to it. We don't let it go, we don't let it dissipate. We don't recite Havdalah. Shemi Shmuel, from the year Tafresh Pei. Chanukah, the Gemara tells us, Kavum va'asum yam tovim ba'al v'hada. I was thinking about this idea this year. Kavum, there's a kfias. Kfias means that there's a certain permanence to Chanukah. Nira me'lashon kavum, says the Shemi Shmuel, from the word kavum, that the sages made it kavua. Sha'oros she Yisrael masigim b'chanukah yeshlem kvias ve'einam mistalkim acher chanukah. That the light that we achieve over Chanukah stays with us after. It's kavua. It makes a mark. Right? It's not just the black of the tips of my fingers from changing the wicks from last night that's going to remain with me for some time. But it's the or, it's the spiritual energy that we took from these days that continues to stay by us. And again, he emphasizes again what the Imre Emes emphasized as well, that there's no Havdalah. There's no Havdalah after Chanukah. Aval mechanukah nishar la'olam. While Shabbos lasts for some time, and Yom Tov perhaps even longer, Chanukah, he says, lasts forever. Aval chanukah she'ein bo iser malacha, va'oros yardin lamata. He says, since Chanukah is so at home with us, it's not a Shabbos, it's not a Yom Tov, it's a weekday holiday. And because we're weekday Jews, we're Jews who are mundane people, regular people, so therefore, the light of Chanukah, which comes down to us, which interacts with us in our world, so to speak, in a very real world, al kein einam mistalkin acher Chanukah v'zeu lashon kavum, and that's what it means that Chazal made the Yom Tov of Chanukah kavua, that it remains forever. It's not something that leaves us. So the question we ask ourselves, the question that a Jew has to ask himself or herself on the last night of Chanukah, Zos Chanukah, this is what it's all about, Zos Chanukah. question is, how do you make it last? How do we make sure that we don't forget about Chanukah in a day from now, or in 2 days from now? Vizhnitz the Rebbe once said, Zos Chanukah, Zos is Rashi Tevos, and Zochor Al Tishkach. How do you make sure you don't forget Chanukah? How do we remember Chanukah? How does it leave a mark in our life? The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos asked the famous question, "My Chanukah?" It's a very unusual question, "My Chanukah?" What is Chanukah? We don't have a Gemara that says, "My Pesach, My Sukkot, My Purim, My Chanukah." The Gemara wants to know, "My Chanukah? What is this thing called Chanukah?" Different ways to understand even what the question really is. The Gemara goes on and tells the Chanukah story. I heard a remez once from Rav Yisrael Simcha Shor, Muncie, son of Rav Gedalia Shor. And Rav Yisrael Simcha Shor said that somehow through My Chanukah, through this question of My Chanukah, we come to Zos Chanukah. We begin, the whole sugya begins with the question, My Chanukah. My Chanukah, what is this Chanukah? And then by the end of Chanukah, we say Zos Chanukah. This is Chanukah. So Rav Yisrael Simcha Shor suggested, B'derech Remez, he said that My is Gematria 51. My times 8 is Gematria Zos. So each day of Chanukah, My Chanukah, My Chanukah, My Chanukah, until eventually we're come to a Zos Chanukah. That was the Remez that he said. My times 8 is 408 is Gematria Zos. But what does that mean, B'derech Avodah? What does that mean? Each day of Chanukah, we're asking My Chanukah until we come finally to a Zos Chanukah. What does the word Chanukah actually mean? So maybe I thought it would be worthwhile to review a famous passage from the beginning of the Piyazetz, the Rebbe's Chovas HaTalmid, where he describes what is Chinuch. Because Chanukah, of course, is a Lashon of Chinuch. Chanukah means rededication, whether it's the rededication of the Mizbeach, like the Marsha says, or the rededication of all the klisharis, like the Arvei Nachal says, or whether it's the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says. But Chinuch, which is related to the word Chanukah, is also a form of dedication, rededication, educating, teaching in the context of a child, teaching a child to use his or her strength. So says the Piyazetz Rebbe in the very, very opening, Siach im hamalamdim va'avos habanim, a discussion with teachers and parents. What does it mean to be machanech? He quotes the words of Shlomo HaMelech, Chanoch lenar al pi darko, gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimena. Zehu ikr hachinuch. Listen to the words of Shlomo HaMelech, says the Piyazetz Rebbe, and you understand what chinuch is. Shelo bilvad b'shasha nar nar. Not only when the child is a child, v'yad aviv ode takif alav, when the parents are still telling the child what to do. Forcing someone to do something is not being machanech, it's not educating them. Yish malo v'yasek mitzvosav, he does what the parents tell him to do. But that's not a child who's learning to do mitzvos, or learning to be true to himself. Ki achinoch lo tzivoy levadu. Chinoch is not commanding. Again, with a heavy hand, forcing someone to do something. Shemitzaves b'noah tamido, asei kach v'kach, do this, do that. Gam lo hergil bilvado, and it's not just training someone that they should automatically do something. Shemargilu lasos maisim tovim. Yoser gadol v'yoser poel menatzivoy min hergil hu achinoch. Greater than commanding, greater than just making routine, is the concept of chinoch. He says, what is true chinoch? He quotes for us Rashi. Rashi tells us on the pasuk, "Bana bayis chadash v'lo chanachal." If a person, Devarim Perichov, a person builds a house and he has not yet lo chanachal, he has not yet had a chanukas habayis, explains Rashi, chinuch lashon haschala. Chinuch is the beginning of a process. Ad kan lashono hakadosh. Upashtut shelo akol haschala yeamar lashon chinuch. Says the Piyazetz Rebbe, you don't call every beginning a chinuch. We don't say, for example, by the Seder, right? We say maschil begnus u'mesayim b'shevach. So we don't say mechanchim begnus u'mesayim b'shevach. We don't always use chinuch. Doesn't always just mean a beginning. So it's the beginning of what? So he explains based on a Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha. What does chinuch really mean? It says that Avram Avinu took chanichav, chanichav shechincho b'mitzvos, that he educated in mitzvos. Well, who lashon? Here's what Rashi says. Here's what chinuch really means. Who lashon haschalas knisas ha'adam, o kli lo'umnis, shu asid labod ba. Chinuch is the beginning of a process that lasts forever. It's the beginning, it's the first time a person achieves something, which is who they're supposed to be forever. It's the first time you use an object in the way that it's intended to be used forever. V'chein, says Rashi, chanuch lanar, chanukas ha'mizbeach, chanukas ha'bayis. Chinuch means the beginning of the process of something achieving its purpose in this world. Concludes the Piyazetz, the Rebbe, at least the part that we're going to read. Al achshara asher nimtza b'koach b'kerav ha'odim malacha zo zo. When a person actualizes their potential, when they train themselves not only to, again, to just do something by rote, but to understand their purpose and to carry out that purpose. Al achsharas habayis va'akli l'tashmish zeh zo. No felashon chinuch. When a person achieves his mission, that's called chinuch. When an object is used the way it's meant to be used, that's called chinuch. When a particular malacha is performed in the way that it's meant to be performed, he says that's called chinuch. Actualizing something's potential, that's what we refer to as chinuch. So with this understanding of the word chinuch, which again is the root of the word Chanukah, maybe we can understand a little bit differently what the response to my Chanukah, every day of Chanukah we're asking ourselves, my Chanukah, right? What's Chanukah going to do to educate me to actualize my potential? How's Chanukah going to help pave a way, a beginning of using my strength, my malacha, my efforts, my energies, to use it the way that it's supposed to be used? My Chanukah, every day of Chanukah, we ask ourselves, what do I want out of Chanukah? What's Chanukah saying to me? Like the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, said to the Rebbe Rashab one time, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, and he was a young boy, he said to him, you have to listen to the candles. It's not enough to just look at the candles, you have to listen. What are the candles saying to you? My Chanukah, what is Chanukah saying to us? What does Chanukah want from us? What are we supposed to be beginning? What are we beginning to achieve? What do we want from this world? The Rebbe Rav Matta Lechovitcher one time was in a particularly good mood on Chanukah. And after he lit his neiros, he told the Hasidim, you could line up and ask for brachos anything you want. When they heard such an offer, there was a lot of pushing. Everyone wanted to get to the Rebbe. This one for Parnassa, this one for that. Each one wanted and was pushing, Everyone was trying to get this handout, this bracha from the Rebbe. And the Rebbe of Lechovitcher noticed that Rav Moshe of Kabrin, who would become one of the great rebbes himself, the Kabrina was standing off to the side and he wasn't pushing. So the Lechovitcher turned to him and he said, young man, Avreich, nu, don't you want something? So he says to him, Rebbe, of course I want. I want Yiras Shemayim, I want Godless in Torah, I want to be able to be Davok to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to daven with Kavana, but I don't want a bracha, I don't want him as a handout. I want all those things through my own amelis and my own yagia. He says, that's what I want, that's what I desire. My Chanukah asks us, what do I want? What am I beginning to do? How does this put into motion a whole new me? The Chork of a Rebbe said, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, that if a person is standing and holding a Ner Chanukah, then he's not Mekayim the Mitzvah. So the Chork of a Rebbe said, exactly. Because a person who makes contact with Ner Chanukah and he's standing still, he's not moving forward. Like the Pasuk says, that a person needs to be Holech to the Or Hashem. He says, such a person is not Mekayim Mitzvah Chanukah. Because then the menorah hasn't said anything to him. So therefore, after 8 days, and again, I'm counting this day both as my Chanukah and Zos Chanukah, that we ask ourselves one last time, my Chanukah, what has Chanukah taught me? And hopefully the answer, like Rav Yisrael Simcha Shur told us, B'derech Rem, is my times 8 is Gematria Zos. If I've asked the question in an honest way, then I'm able to say, Zos Chanukah. Zos Chanukah. This is Chanukah. That I figured out what I'm going to do different this year. That something changed over the course of Chanukah by looking at those neiros, by Mekayim, this mitzvah, by saying Hallel so many times, Hallel Shalim, by being able to feel the aura of Chanukah, something changed inside of me. Tzadikim bring, this past Shabbos was Parshas Miketz. That's what you read in Shul? Miss Shul on Shabbos. Nope, you take what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. So we read Parshas Miketz this past Shabbos. So they say from Rav Meir Premishlan, Rav Aaron Carlina as well, Baron Carlina was sitting with his chassidim one time, and he said, Parshas Miketz, Shabbos Chanukah. In Parshas Miketz, we learn the difference between our Avos HaKadoshim and Paro HaRasha. He says, where do we see the difference between Paro and our Avos? He says, think about it. Back when Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov has his dream, Paro has dreams, Yaakov has dreams, everyone has dreams. But when Yaakov wakes up from his dream, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso, Vayomer. And he said, when a Yid wakes up from his sleep, he gets out of bed and he's got so much to say. Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar, Kriyas Shema, Shemona Esrei, davening, learning, he's got so much to say. When a Jew wakes up in the morning, he jumps out of bed, he's excited, Vayomer, and he says, Paro, Vayikatz Paro, Paro wakes up. Right? He had a dream, a frightful dream, no less. Vayishan Vayachalom Shenis. And Paro went back to sleep. It's not stam that we read this Shabbos Chanukah. Because the tzaddikim explained to us that there's three ways to wake a person up. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, the shofar, the sound of the shofar wakes us up. Okay, it's one way to wake a person up. But if that doesn't work, the Beis Avram, the Slonim Rebbe writes in his writings for Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, that when we shake the lulav, when we do the na'anurim, when we're shaking ourselves, it could shake a person up. It's another way to wake a person up. But if that doesn't work, Rav Leibel Eger tells us in his sefer Imrei Emes, his lesser known sefer, the Torah Semes, in the Imrei Emes, Rav Leibel Eger tells us that the other way to wake a person up is to turn on the lights. When you turn on the lights, it wakes a person up. Chanukah wakes a person up. The question is, what happens when you wake up? Do we stay awake? Or Rachmana Litzlan, like Paro, do we roll over and go back to sleep? Imrei Noam writes in Parshas Baal Oscha, paraphrasing the question that the Gemara already asks. We lit the menorah in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Does the Kadosh Baruch Hu need our light? V'chila Orehu Tzarech. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is the light of the world. Does Hashem need our light? The Imrei Noam says it rhetorically, as if to say, this light is not for the Rabbanu Shalom. The light of Neres Chanukah is not to teach Hashem something. It's to teach us something. It's to wake us up. Ba'aloschas Haneiros, Aaron's told light the menorah. V'yas Kein Aaron, and Aaron did so. Says the Imrei Noam, Rashi tells us, V'yas Kein Aaron, l'hagid shivcho shel Aaron. To tell us the unbelievable praises of Aaron HaKohen, Shaloshina, that he didn't change, he didn't deviate one bit from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. But says the Imrei Noam, B'derech Jewish, B'derech Hasidus, not only Lahagid Shivcho Sha'am Shaloshina, but Shaloshina, that he didn't go back to sleep. That Aaron was able to look at the menorah and it woke him up. And that's how we're supposed to feel when we look at our menorah. Yaakov wakes up from his slumber, and he looks at that unbelievable scene that he just saw with the angels going up and down the ladders. And what does Yaakov declare? Manorah ha-makom hazeh. Manorah ha-makom hazeh. Manorah ha-makom hazeh. Menorah. How wondrous is this menorah? That it wakes a person up and it allows me to begin that process of change. All the promises I made on Rosh Hashanah, the Chanukahs, Zos Chanukah, the Sfarim say, is the end of that whole tkufa of Yom Menorah. That this is the Rosh Hashanah. This is the beginning, the Rosh, the beginning, the Chinuch of the Shana, of the Shinoi, of making a change in my life. So I want to just highlight three possible things. Three things that, again, I've thought about over Chanukah. Famous themes about Chanukah. The three areas where a person might think to make a change. My Chanukah, we have to respond tonight. It's incumbent upon us to respond Zos Chanukah. The first obvious lesson of Chanukah that so many Sfarim talk about is the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim. The unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim, to do the impossible in so many ways. To do the impossible in terms of the battle. To do the impossible in terms of lighting the menorah. Of finding that oil to begin with, having the courage to search for the oil, to discover the oil, to light the menorah, to be willing to try. To be willing to try. I saw a poster the other day. It said the difference between try and triumph is a little bit of oomph. There's the intro. It's cute. It's cute, but it's also true. Because when a person tries a little bit harder, right, magical things happen. Miraculous things happen. Chashmonaim are hard for us to relate to. They were a long time ago. I'll tell you a story of someone who was much more recent, who's also hard to relate to, is Mesiras Nefesh. A person who found himself in very difficult situations. I just remembered this story. It's a famous story, but if you haven't heard of it, it's an amazing story. Nathan Sharansky spent about 9 years in various forms of imprisonment. 1977 to 1986. I have a book at home called Fear No Evil. A magnificent book where he describes his encounters, and he was tough as nails. To fight against people, to be able to stand by his values. And he admits, I wasn't a very religious person. But he describes how he had his tehillim with him the whole time, how he fought for that tehillim. So he tells a story in his book, Fear No Evil. He tells a story about Chanukah one year. He's sitting there in the Soviet gulag, right? And somehow he gets his hands on a menorah and a little candle, and he lights it the first night. He says, I don't have enough candles for all the nights, so he blows it out each night, and he says he's getting the other inmates who aren't Jewish. He's telling them this candle represents a fight for freedom, and everyone's so into it, and he's giving these long drashas. Amazing. So he said he blew out the candle, he relit it every night. The sixth night of Chanukah, they finally catch on to this. They're not happy with him. They confiscate his menorah. They tell them it's dangerous, you're going to cause a fire. He says, I'm sitting here, I'm watching over it, nothing's going to happen. I only have 2 nights left to my holiday. So they called one of the superiors, they said, Sharansky's not making a synagogue out of a jail cell. Tell him you're not giving back the menorah. So Nathan Sharansky says, okay, so I'm going on a hunger strike, which was something he did more than once. And he said, but every time you begin a hunger strike, you never know how it's going to end. Are they going to let you die? Are they going to respond to the hunger strike? Just so happens that one of the head commissions was coming to see how the prisoners were being treated in a couple of weeks. They didn't have time for Sharansky's hunger strike. It was on the sixth night of Chanukah. He took away his menorah. 2 days go by. His hunger strike is continuing. He gets called in to one of the head one of the head, head of this prison, the warden, I don't know exactly what his position was. He gets called into this fellow's office. His name is Osen, Major Osen. So Major Osen calls him in and he says, you're causing a lot of trouble with this hunger strike. Just go back to eating and we'll make sure that you have your religious freedom in the right time. So he says, sure, no problem, just give me back my menorah. So I said, there's already an order to have it confiscated as state property. We can't give back the menorah. So he says, so then I can't eat. And he's sitting there and the stalemate is continuing back and forth. This was the eighth night, now it's the eighth night of Hanukkah. So finally he says to Major Osen, he says, listen, I know you have the power to get back the menorah. How about this? Instead of me causing trouble with all the other inmates, maybe just give me back my menorah, and I'll light my menorah right here in your office. And now I'm going to read you the words from the book. These are words from the book. Osen thought it over and promptly confiscated the confiscated menorah appeared from his desk. He summoned Gavrilik, it's one of the guards, who was on duty in the office, to bring in a large candle. I need 8 candles, I said. In fact, I needed 9, but when it came to Jewish rituals, I was still a novice. Gavrilik took out a knife and began to cut the candle into several smaller ones, but it didn't come out right. Apparently, the knife was too dull. Then Osen took out a handsome inlaid pocket knife and deftly cut me 8 candles. Go, I'll call you later, he said to Gavrilik. Gavrilik simply obeyed orders. He was a fierce, gloomy man, and the sight must have infuriated him. I arranged the candles and went to the coat rack for my hat, explaining to Osen that during the prayers, you must stand with your head covered, and at the end, say amen. He put on his major's hat and stood. I lit the candles and recited my own prayer in Hebrew, which went something like this. Blessed are you, God, for allowing me to rejoice on this day of Hanukkah, the holiday of our liberation, the holiday of our return to the ways of our fathers. Blessed are you, God, for allowing me to light these candles. May you allow me to light the Hanukkah candles many times in your city, Jerusalem, with my wife, Avital, my family, and friends. This time, however, inspired by the sight of Osen standing meekly at attention, I added in Hebrew, and may the day come when all our enemies, who today are planning our destruction, will stand before us and hear our prayers and say, Amen. Amen. Osen echoed back. He sighed with relief, sat down, and removed his hat. For some time, we looked silently at the burning candles. They quickly melted, and the hot wax was spread pleasantly over the glass surface of the table. Then Osen caught himself, summoned Gavrilik, and brusquely ordered him to clean it up. I returned to the barracks in a state of elation, and our kibbutz made tea and merrily celebrated the end of Hanukkah. Naturally, I told them about Osen's conversion, and it soon became the talk of the camp. Imagine to have such an individual answer Amen to his bracha. It's a remarkable story of Mesiras Nefesh. But again, each and every one of us in our own way have the ability to also be Moser Nefesh, the ability to accomplish unbelievable things if we just put our mind and our heart to it, whether it's saying a bracha in public, benching in public, little ways where sometimes we become embarrassed and we're not proud enough to stand by our values. Whether it's saying to a coworker or someone who we're involved with in the office, right? There's certain things that as a Jew I just don't do. And to be a person of values and to do it with confidence and courage, even in the face of a challenge. That's certainly one lesson, Zos Chanukah, that we can answer to the My Chanukah question we've been asking for the last 8 days. A second lesson, of course, is to think of other Jews. To realize that unfortunately, the Hanukkah victory took place at the hands of very few. Rabban Biad Ma'atim. Some tzaddikim explain that it's not only talking about Jews being victorious over our Yavani oppressors, but it was the victory of Jews who believed in Torah over those Jews who were prepared to compromise. And to realize that sometimes there are people who are struggling. My Hanukkah, what's Hanukkah? Zos Hanukkah. Maybe I'm going to daven for someone who's going through a tough time religiously, reach out to a person who I haven't thought of in a while, who I know is not where they could be or should be or once were in terms of their Yiddishkeit. The first Lama Rebbe, the Yesod HaVoda, one time was walking in the marketplace and a woman ran over to him crying bitter tears. And she's crying and she's crying and she's crying and he says, well, what is it? What is it? So she says, my daughter, she drifted. She's not from anymore. We haven't seen her in over a month now. We don't know what's going on with her. We know that she's not involved in good things. We don't know what to do. Maybe the Rebbe can give us a bracha that she should return home safely. So the Slonim Rebbe thought for a minute. He's thinking. And he says, do you have any clothing that still belonged to her? He said, of course. You have a sweater maybe? He said, of course. So he says, take that sweater. When you go to light the Hanukkah menorah, when you light the Neros tonight, make the wicks out of little pieces of her clothing. And as you're lighting that menorah, stand by that menorah and daven over that menorah and hope that as you're lighting that those little wicks made from her sweater, that something will be illuminated inside of her. that somehow it'll kindle a spark inside of her. So she took the Rebbe's advice. She went home. They lit candles. She said that Friday night, all of a sudden, they're sitting down to the Shabbos Seudah. Gets a knock on the door. Her daughter, standing at the door, comes running into the room, bursts into tears. And her mother says, I'm so happy you're back. What changed? What brought you back? She said, I don't know. All of a sudden this week, I felt a spark inside of my neshama once again. Something that I hadn't felt. The Rebbe's advice worked. When you daven, you stand by that menorah, and you're thinking about those Jews. And Chanukah Baruch Hashem is the Yom Tov that's celebrated, I think, more than any other Yom Tov. But the fact that there are still some Jews. I took a picture, maybe it was nasty what I did. I think there's a certain student of mine I think of all the time. Unfortunately, he's not Shomer Shabbos or Torah Mitzvot these days. From many years ago, a student of mine. And I always keep up with him. So I sent him a picture the first night of our entire family with the menorahs burning, just wishing him a happy Chanukah. And the truth is, I wanted to make him jealous. I wanted him to say, why don't I have that? Why don't I have a beautiful Jewish family standing around the menorah? Why am I still going out with a non-Jewish girl? Why? How have I chosen that? And I hope when I light those candles and I think of him every night of Chanukah, I hope that maybe it'll light a spark inside of him. Maybe that's the Zos Chanukah for Tav Shanayin Ches. And lastly, perhaps a third thing to think about in response to my Chanukah, Zos Chanukah. This is what I really wanted to share in the drasha this past Shabbos, which I didn't have the schus to give. I learned an amazing piece with some of my students this year from the Chiddush Arim. Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, says that the Gemara tells us, Haragil b'ner, a person who is accustomed to the ner, is zochet to have children who are Talmidei Chachamim, walk in the path of Torah and mitzvos. Question is, what does that mean to be Ragil b'ner? So the Chiddush Arim so beautifully explains, Haragil b'ner means that a Jew feels comfortable with the ner mitzvah of a Torah or. Do I consider mitzvah something that I feel regular with? Am I ragil b'ner? Not only am I regulated in terms of performing mitzvos and being involved in Torah mitzvos, but do I feel comfortable with mitzvos? Am I excited about mitzvos? Is that something I look forward to, day in and day out, week in and week out? Or is it something that I do because it's something that I'm supposed to do? Do I do it for myself? Do I do it for Hashem? Or do I do it because of social pressures or expectations which are not my own? And I'll tell you just one other unbelievable story. Rav Mati Miller, very involved in Kiruv, he shared the following story. He said he's originally from England. He said a family from England contacted him. They said they have a child who's straight from the Derech HaTorah. And they want to know if Rabbi Miller can do anything for them. So he says, send your son to live by me. He comes to live by the Millers. He's there for a month. An entire month goes by and they just take care of him. They give him whatever he needs. Mati Miller said, I didn't ask him one mitzvah, 1 minute of learning. I didn't ask for anything. I just wanted him to be in a Jewish home, to see what a Jewish family looks like, and to just feel good about himself. He said, the month was over, I'm driving him back to the airport to go back to England. And I said to him in the car, I said, listen, I need you to do me a favor. For a month you were a guest in our home, I took care of you, we gave you everything you need. Do me a favor, promise me that Monday and Thursday you'll put on tefillin, even if just for a minute. So he says, Rabbi, you know, I don't do that kind of stuff. He says, as a favor, do it for me. Monday and Thursday, just that. So he says, okay, I'll do it. So he says, no, I need a commitment, shake on it. So he shakes Rabbi Miller's hand. And he goes back to England. He said he didn't hear from him for a while, hoping that he was keeping up the commitment. He said all of a sudden one day, he gets a call from this young man, he's sobbing bitter tears on the phone. So he says to him, what is it? He finally gains his composure, and he tells him the following story. He says, I live in an apartment, I don't live with my family. Not religious, as you know. And my father picks me up every morning to take me to the train station where I go off to work. He said, this morning, Thursday morning, I got in the car, and we're on our way to the train station, and all of a sudden I said, I forgot the tefillin. Monday, Thursday, I got to put on tefillin. I said to my father, I got to go back, I got to put on tefillin. My father's very pleasantly surprised, very happy to take me back. He takes me back. I run upstairs to my apartment, I put on the tefillin, throw them on, throw them off, jump back in the car, back to the train station, and I get on the first train. He said, I'm on the train for about 3 minutes when the power goes out. He's telling now Mati Miller, sobbing on the phone, July 7th, 2005, King's Cross Station. He said, I got on the train because I went back for the tefillin. He said, I missed the terrible terrorist attack. 7-7 in England is like 9-11 in America. Three suicide bombers coordinated attacks in the early morning rush hour trains. And he said, had I not gone back for the tefillin, he said, I never would have survived that attack. But then Mati Miller said something which is really remarkable and painful. He said, I know for a fact, he was telling this to a group of high school boys, he said, I know for a fact that young man doesn't put on tefillin every day. Can you imagine such a thing happens, that a person goes through such an experience, his life is saved by the tefillin, he still doesn't put on tefillin every day. How could that be? He said two reasons. One, he didn't respond right away. When a person has that type of experience, they have to do something right away if you want to make a change in your life. He said he waited, and that's one reason that he didn't change. He said, but the second reason he didn't change is because he wasn't putting on the tefillin for himself, and he wasn't putting on the tefillin for Hashem. He was only putting on the tefillin for me. He was never doing it for himself. He wasn't ragil b'ner. It wasn't something that he was doing because it was something that he did as a Jew. It was something that he did for someone else. When you don't do a mitzvah for yourself, unfortunately, again, a person doesn't grow. One of the lessons of Hanukkah is we look at the candle growing each and every night. Haragil b'ner, like the Chiddush Yerim said, to become accustomed to the ner, to get comfortable with the ner, to be connected and excited about opportunities to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu with Torah and mitzvahs. I'll just conclude. Something I thought of this year. Famous sugya in the Gemara, Kavsa in Azakakla. The Gemara says that if a candle goes out, a person's not obligated to relight the candle. Very interesting discussion. That's how we paskin, interestingly enough. Tonight, we had all eight of my candles burning bright, all of my eight little glass cups burning bright, and the children were having a good time, and one of our kids was jumping around in the dining room, and one of the cups fell over and shattered, and Baruch Hashem, nothing dangerous. But you lost the candle. Kavsein Zakakla was well past a half hour. But you know, it's nice to have the menorah burning all night. Kavsa in Zakukla. What's the pshat in Kavsa if it goes out in Zakukla? If the light goes out, you're not obligated to rekindle it. Why? It's a strange halacha. If you need to have it burning, it should burn. I thought maybe you could say the following pshat. When we light the menorah, that's just a physical expression of what's happening, hopefully, inside of us. That every time we light that light, we're kindling something inside of ourselves, we're kindling something on high. That light that burns on high, that light that burns within, that light never gets extinguished. So yes, that the physical manifestation is supposed to be a representation of that. But if that goes out, if that physical light burning in the menorah goes out, that's okay. Because if you paid attention, if you asked my Chanukah, you're still responding Zos Chanukah. The light's still glowing. Okay, the light of the candle went out, the light of the oil went out. Right? But the brighter light, the much more important light, is still burning bright inside. On the eighth day of Chanukah, on this last night of Chanukah, and this last day of Chanukah, we take whatever bit of oil is left, the halacha says, you take whatever little bit of oil is left, you take whatever oil is left and you burn it, it's designated for a mitzvah, you have to burn it on its own, you can't benefit from it. Rav Nassim Geshtetner says, no, take that extra oil, whatever's left over in the wicks, whatever's left over in the cups at the end of eight nights, and osalo medura, and make a bonfire, visarfo bifne atzmo. Not just burn it on its own, but burn it within yourself. Keep it burning bright inside of oneself. Bnei bina yamei shmona. Bnei bina means to be meivin davar mitoch davar, to learn something from Chanukah. Not to just go through the 8 days of Chanukah and to walk away as if nothing happened. But to ask the question, my Chanukah, what's this going to be mechanech min? And then to be able to respond, to be able to say Zos Chanukah. So I leave you with one final idea, really one final story. I saw in the Sefer Mati Yisachar. Mati Yisachar quotes from his father, Rav Mordechai Shapiro, who died al Kiddush Hashem during the Holocaust. He explained that the name Zos Chanukah perhaps is like a person says at the end of a bris, at the end of a Sudas Bris Milah. All the people get up and they say, oh, this is just the beginning. Mirtz Hashem, there'll be so much more nachas from this little boy. He'll have a bar mitzvah, he'll have a wedding, and he'll give nachas to his parents. All the nice notes he'll get home from his moras and teachers and rebbeim over the years. Right? This is mamish just the beginning. So much more to come. So the Mati Yisachar says from his father, who died al Kiddush Hashem during the war, he said, my father used to say, that's what Zos Chanukah is. Zos Chanukah. We say, this is just the Zos, after everything we've gone through. One candle, two candles, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Right? Now it's over. It's not over. Zos Chanukah, this is just the beginning. This is mamish the Chanukah. This is just the beginning of a lifetime of growing, of changing, of bettering oneself, of deepening my connection to Torah and mitzvos, to having the mesiras nefesh of the Natan Sharanskis of the world, and to have the desire to bring home a daughter like that woman standing by the neiros, lighting the little wicks from her daughter's sweater, fulfilling the hope and bracha of the Slonim Rebbe, to be a person who does mitzvos with a sense of regilis, not like that fellow who got on the train, right, which Baruch Hashem saved his life, but he wasn't putting on the tefillin for himself. To be the type of person who's able to say, Zos Chanukah. After all the my Chanukahs, Zos Chanukah. This is the beginning of something new. I'm going to do something with this Hanukkah. I'm going to hold on to these lights. I'm not going to let these lights dissipate. I'm not going to make Havdalah at the end of Hanukkah. And then Amir Tzashem, I'll continue to grow. And all of that menorah that's no longer shining in our windows or shining by our doors or on our tables, wherever we light the menorah. But Kavsa'in Zakakla, when it's extinguished, I'm not bothered by it. It's not an obligation to relight it, because I'm carrying a much brighter light, Amir Tzashem, inside of ourselves. So Amir Tzashem, Zos Hanukkah, this should be just the beginning of much more growth in Avodas Hashem. And Amir Tzashem, that candle, and all those candles that we lit over the course of the last 8 days will continue to burn bright inside of each and every one of us. Amen.